ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 38 टेक्स्ट 18। नमयि उपैशति अरिबुद्धिमच्युत कंसस्य दूता प्रहितोऽपि विश्वदृक् यो अन्तर्बहिश्चेतसा एतदिहितम् श्रेतज्ञ ईक्षति अमलेन चक्षुषा। न मयि उपैशति अरिबुद्धिमच्युतः कंसस्य दूता प्रहितोऽपि विश्वदृक् यो अन्तर्बहि चेतसा एतदिहितम् क्षेत्रज्ञ ईक्षति अमलेन चक्षुषा। न मयि उपैशति अरिबुद्धिमच्युतः कंसस्य दूता प्रहितोऽपि विश्वदृक् यो अन्तर्बहि चेतसा एतदिहितम् क्षेत्रज्ञ ईक्षति अमलेन चक्षुषा। नमयि उपैशति अरिबुद्धिमच्युता कंसस्य दूता परिहितोऽपि विश्वदृक् यो अन्तर्बहिः चेतसा एतदिहितम् क्षेत्रज्ञ ईक्षति अमलेन चक्षुषा। माताजी न नॉट मई टवर्ड मी उपैशति विल ही डेवलप अरी ऑफ बीइंग एन एनिमी बुद्धिम द एटीट्यूड अच्युतः द इनफैलिबल लॉर्ड कंसस्य ऑफ कंस दूतः ए मैसेंजर प्रहितः सेंट अपि although vishwa of everything drik the witness yaha who antah inside bahihi and outside chetasah of the heart etat this ihitam whatever is done kshetra of the field of the material body nyaha No, the knower, ikshati, he sees, amalena, with perfect, chakshusha, vision. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, the infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of this material body, and with his perfect vision, he witnesses both externally and internally all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. Purport. Being omniscient, Lord Krishna knew that Akrura was only externally a friend of Kamsa. Internally, he was an eternal devotee of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna At the very outset, I seek the blessings of all Vaishnavas who are sitting here in this audience. For me, getting this service to speak a few words on Srimad Bhagavatam has been a godsend because last couple of months have been somewhat traumatic in my life. So this is a great thing. I also got an opportunity to go to Barsana dental camp and this service that I got by the mercy of the devotees was something which I will cherish for my all my lifetime. So here this chapter is entitled Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan. So there are 9 different processes of devotional service, everybody knows. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakhijana Atma Nivedana. So these are the 9 steps. And we are talking about Akrura here. And Akrura actually perfected his spiritual life by the process of prayers, vandanams. So he is an example for us of a person who could perfect his life simply by offering beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now, in the 40th chapter of this text, there is a complete, you know, chapter devoted to prayers by Akrura, which we will be discussing as time elapses. So, we find here that Akrura is in his chariot and he is going towards Vrindavan and on a mission which he is not completely satisfied within himself. You'll have to pardon my occasional coughs. So, we find that Krishna, Kamsa, is actually making use of Akrura, in fact he's exploiting Akrura for his devotion to Krishna. And he has put, Kamsa has put Akrura in a very embarrassing position, very difficult, very, very awkward position. So, he is being sent on a very distasteful mission and of escorting Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Now, it's not that Kamsa Mama has suddenly developed great love for Krishna. Huh? that, you know, he is overwhelmed by love for Krishna, and therefore, you know, he is inviting and sending Akrura, again a relative, to fetch Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. It's not, there is no love element at all in what Kamsa is doing. In fact, Kamsa very brazenly tells Akrura, there elsewhere, that I want that Krishna and Balaram should be killed. So there is a diabolical plan in place for taking, killing Krishna and Balaram. He has devised various strategies, and he talks about it to Akrura. It's not that he hides it. He talks about it to Akrura. And Akrura realizes that Kamsa has arranged for a very vicious elephant, Kuvalyapida. Then he has also arranged for wrestlers like Chanura, Mushtika, Sala, Toshala to wrestle with the two brothers and kill them. The idea is not that they have a contest which can be enjoyed by everyone. The idea is this fight to finish, and they want that Krishna Balaram to be completely, you know, murdered in this particular endeavor. So this is the motive of Kamsa. It's not called them out of love at all, whatever. So Akrura actually had, he was serving Kamsa, obviously he was a devotee serving Kamsa. Very, very often this happens in devotee's life. He is serving somebody who is not a devotee. In this case, he was not even a devotee, he was a demon. Kamsa was a regular high class demon. And actually Kamsa had contempt. He had contempt for both Krishna and he had contempt for Akrura. Why? Because he, in the Nectar of Devotion, there is a statement in which he says that, he tells Akrura, he tells him that, you are such a fool that you are accepting a cowherd boy to be the supreme personality of Godhead. He tells him. And simply because he has defeated some harmless water snake. So Kamsa says that, he tells Akrura, you know, Krishna has defeated some harmless water snake and you are making a big fuss over it. That is one thing. And the second thing he says that he may have lifted a pebble, it's a tiny stone called Govardhan, and you are saying that, you know, he is the transcendental personality of Godhead. So you are making, you know, you are exaggerating his achievements. Now we see that this is actually an approach which vicious demons like Kamsa follow to minimize the Lord. Now, if they cannot directly, you know, hurt the Lord, they will say things, they will blaspheme the Lord, and they will somehow or the other try to minimize the achievements. So here Kamsa wants to hurt Akrura. How? In a subtle way, by, you know, being critical of Lord Krishna. Sometimes if there is someone very near and dear to you and XYZ, you know, cuts that person to pieces in your presence, how sad you feel, you know, how hurt you feel. So Akrura had to face all this. A great devotee had to face all this of Kamsa, you know, minimizing the achievements of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Now, Kaliya was no water snake. The whole world knew that, you know, the most poisonous, you know, snake. And entire Gokul Dham, everybody was, you know, very anxious that this snake should be destroyed. But here he is minimizing, it's just a water snake, you know. I remember in this minimization is something which I remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would often narrate the story of, what is that, naked Pancho. I know, Radhanath Maharaj has also told us number of times. What is the story of this naked Pancho? Everybody knows. So he was a boy in a village, you know, and he would move about naked, you know, here and there. Children move about in naked. They don't wear, you know, sophisticated clothes. He was moving here and there and playing pranks and all that. But he was a very intelligent boy, this Pancho. As time went by, slowly, you know, he excelled in his studies. And he, one day, you know, a stage came where he studied, you know, law. And then he became a lawyer. And somebody from the town would come and say, you know, our Pancho has become, you know, a lawyer. And then the contemptuous people would say, Pancho? That naked Pancho? No, he can't be a lawyer. No, no, he has become a lawyer. I know, I met him in Cannes. Yeah, but then he must not be getting salary of a lawyer. So, then some one fine day, Pancho became a judge. They said that he's become a judge. Nonsense, it can't be. Now, we have seen him moving about, you know, in naked here and there. So, he cannot be a judge. So, this way, they would minimize Pancho. And Bhakti Sindha Saraswati Thakur says that this approach is followed by vicious, envious people to minimize the Lord and his devotees. So here, Kamsa is actually, he's so envious of the Lord that he loses no opportunity to slander Krishna. He loses no opportunity. And he was also capable of, I think, great theatrics, you know. So here he says, it is mentioned, he talks to Akrura. How does he persuade Akrura to go to Vrindavan to fetch Krishna and Balaram? He tells Akrura, you are the most munificent person. I am begging charity from you. I am begging charity from you. And actually, I have taken shelter of you. Kamsa is telling Akrura, I have taken shelter of you. Just exactly as King Indra takes shelter of Vishnu. So goes to any length to, you know, somehow or the other engage Akrura in this job of bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura for the wrestling contest. Now he wants to appear to be very, 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 you know, straightforward, very kind and all that. But deep within there is poison stored in Kamsa's heart. So he says, he tells Akrura, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan and find Krishna and Balaram and travel with them in this specially, you know, made chariot, this designer chariot. You just get into that chariot and you bring them. Makes it look very, very sound. But at the same time he tells him that after they are brought, I am going to kill them. So this is the intention of Kamsa. He wants to actually kill Krishna and Balaram. Now see the situation. If Akrura had said that no, I rebel, I am not going to take up the assignment, he would be killed anyway. And then if Akrura were to agree, which he eventually agreed, he would be literally, you know, caught between the devil and the deep sea, or in this case, it is not deep sea, it is Krishna, ocean of compassion, so his Kripa Sindhu. So he gets caught in that situation. Whatever he does, so then Akrura is an intelligent devotee. He says, all right, if I am going to be subjected to some kind of, you know, killing, why not I, you know, accept the path of, you know, going and bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. At least I will get the darshan of my beloved Lord Krishna. So he sees something positive in a somewhat negative situation. Says that, what is the harm? I mean, worse comes to worse, what is going to happen? I am going to die. But at least, you know, I will go and fetch the Lord. What is Akrura's discomfort? His discomfort is that he is subjecting his worshipable Lord to this, you know, horrible personality, Kamsa. So, that is his misery, Akrura. Akrura knows that Krishna cannot be vanquished. The devotee knows that. But at the same time, he feels extremely guilty, very, very guilty for being in that position where he has to bring Krishna and Balaram for meeting their so-called death. Of course, not going to meet. But this is how he feels miserable. Akrura feels totally miserable. Why am I being put into this position? But then he sees the silver lining. What is the silver lining? I am going to get to see my Supreme Lord Krishna. I am going to get the darshan of his lotus feet. So that is the silver lining in a mission which is otherwise so hopeless as far as he is concerned. So it's not that Kamsa is going to welcome Krishna Balaram. He is going to design things in such a way that they are somehow or the other killed. Either, you know, stamped upon by Kollapida or, you know, crushed by band-sized wrestlers. But it doesn't matter, whatever. So in this way, we find that in our scriptures also, there are many examples where great personalities have been put into an awkward or a very difficult situation. In Ramayana itself, there are a couple of examples. I thought I would share a few with you. There are two, three examples, especially the example of Lakshman. Lakshman was put in a spot, put in very difficult situation by none other than his own worshipable Lord Prabhu Ramchandra. The first instance which I want to go into detail is when there is Agni Pariksha. After Sita, you know, after Ravana is killed and, you know, everything is, war is over, then the Sita is brought in presence of Prabhu Ramchandra, and then Ramchandra tells him that, he tells Lakshman, you arrange for Agni Pariksha. So he is in that position. He is a servant, so he says, he doesn't want to refuse that. Any order that has been given by Prabhu Ram, he doesn't want to refuse. But he finds it very, very distasteful that, you know, he has to do it. So anyway, so that is arranged. Then there is the second episode of when Prabhu Ramchandra comes to Ayodhya, he becomes the ruler, and then thereafter, you know, Sita Mai becomes pregnant with love and Kush, and then what happens is that one fine day Prabhu Ramchandra comes to hear about some statement made by some common citizen that, you know, look at this Lord Ram, you know, he kept Mother Sita for such a long time in some stranger's association, and now, you know, he has accepted her. What kind of a person is Ram? This is one idiotic person making a statement about Lord Ram, and then this comes to Prabhu Ramchandra, and Prabhu Ramchandra takes a very drastic step. He tells Lakshman, don't tell her now, but take Sita to Valmiki Ashram. It's a long journey. You take her. In any case, you know, she wanted to visit these places. She loves Rishi Muni's ashrams. You take her there. And then, you know, just leave her there and come back. Now, how shocking it must have been to Lakshman. He dearly loved and respected Sita Maiya, but he was put into that situation. So this way, awkward situations come in our lives also sometimes. We don't have a straightforward solution for it, but the problems come nevertheless, and we have to handle it at our level in some way or the other. Then in Ramayana itself, there is one more example, which is about, again, Lakshmanji. When the Lord Ramchandra wanted to wind up his pastimes in Ayodhya, so one day Lord Brahma sends Kala, representative Kala, to Ayodhya. He sends him to Ayodhya, and he comes and meets Lord Ram. Lord Ram welcomes him, gives him, honors him in the right way. And he says that, Kala says that, you know, I have been deputed by Lord Brahma. And I want to convey some message. I am a messenger. I want to convey some message to you. But it is very, very crucial that nobody else is here in the room when, you know, I convey this message to you. So, anyone else who comes, anyone who interrupts our conversation or a discussion, that person should be got rid of. So this is the promise that the representative of Kala takes from Lord Ram. Lord Ram knows, he's the Supreme Lord. He knows why this Kala has come. He also knows what is going to happen subsequently. Everything he knows. But he says, all right. And then he calls Lakshman and tells Lakshman, you please guard the door, guard the entrance, because the messenger who has come, he has to convey something in secrecy, and nobody should come. You ensure that, and send that doorman, you know, who was watching guard, you send him away and then you be there on the guard. So Lakshman accepts that order. So, meantime there is a discussion between the Duta Kala, representative Kala, and Lord Ram, and Kala, on behalf of Lord Brahma, communicates to the Supreme Lord Ram that, you know, your time has come for you to, you know, wind up your pastimes and go back to the spiritual abode. So this is what is the message that I have come to convey. So you have to make all the arrangements. So while this discussion between the two is going on, who should come to the entrance of the door? Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni comes there at that very, very awkward moment. He comes there and he comes to Lakshman and says, allow me to go inside. I have something very important to tell Prabhu Ramchandra. Lakshmana literally begs of him. He says, please, Lord Ram has instructed me not to, you know, in any way disturb the meeting which is going on. He says, no, I want to go in. It's very crucial for me to go in. And after some time, Lakshman realizes that it is better. And then he says, he threatens Lakshman. He says that if you prevent me from going inside, I'll curse Lord Ram, I'll curse Bharat, I'll curse all the Ayodhya Vasis, I'll curse the Kosala kingdom, and like that, goes on. So Lakshmana thinks about it. He says, what is this? On one hand, he has been instructed by Lord Ram not to allow anyone to get in. On the other hand, Durvasa is capable of, you know, cursing. So what he does is, he allows Durvasa to go in. Now, it's not that Durvasa had some momentous message to give. He says, you know, I will have a bath and come for prasad, he tells Lam. So Prabhu Ramchandra immediately understands that Lakshmana is winding up his pastimes now, because he has to keep his word. So Lakshmana tells Lord Ram that, I am willing to face the consequences of my coming here and interrupting you, whatever you desire. And that way Lakshmana also, you know, he winds up his pastime. Later on, Lord Ramchandra and Ayodhya Vasis, many of them, go back to the spiritual world. So this is the pastime that I found quite interesting and also quite instructive. In our life also, we are placed in so many awkward situations. We don't know how to say no to a person, and at the same time, we cannot also say yes to a person. That must be the experience of practically everyone. So I have had a lot of such experiences. So this particular verse which we are reading now, that brings out the wonderful consciousness of Akrura. Akrura knew that he was being exploited by Kamsa, and he wanted to meet Krishna and Balaram, but he had no intention to escort them to Mathura just for being, you know, sacrificed at the hands of these people, Kualapida and all these wrestlers. So, and he also knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is most compassionate, and he would not misunderstand Akrura. So that fear is there when you are sent on a mission wherein you are going to be a part of the orchestra to have the Lord murdered. You feel tense, isn't it? So Akrura knew that I am a part of this particular plan, and so he was very, very nervous about the whole thing. But at the same time, being a devotee, wonderful devotee, he had confidence that the Supreme Lord Ram would not misunderstand him, even if he is representing the vicious Kamsa. So this is something very, very important for us to understand, that he had that high degree of, you know, confidence that even if he is representing the vicious Kamsa, the Lord is not going to misunderstand him. Yeah? That is what is mentioned here. Namai upaishati aribuddhi machyuta. Ari means animal, enemy. So he said that Krishna knows that Krishna is not going to look at me because, you know, I have represented Kamsa. He is not going to look at me, you know, oh, this devotee of mine, you know, badly let me down. You know? He is representing Kamsa. He is not going to look at it that way. Krishna is Krupa Sindhu. So he is not going to misunderstand this action by Akrura. So Akrura was confident. This confidence in the pastimes of the Lord, his reciprocation is very, very important in our spiritual lives. We have to have that confidence. So, rakshishyati iti vishwaso, that is one of the important points. So, Akrura was confident that even if I am on a bad mission, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is so compassionate. He is not going to misunderstand my coming here. So, that confidence he had. So, na mai upayishyati aribuddhim achyuta. Achyuta, the infallible Lord, is not going to misunderstand me. Because, why? Because he is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything. So, Kamsa has ulterior motives in sending Akrura, but Krishna knows. Krishna knows why Akrura has come. So, this is, because Krishna is perfect and complete. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam. He is perfect and complete in whatever he does. He's not going to understand. So, here the word Kshetrajna has been used. And in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse in which Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetrajnayo jnanam yattat jnanam matam mama. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord says, I am the knower of the field of activities in every individual body. So, we as individuals, we may know about our own body. We may know, I am using the word may know because we don't know actually. We don't know what is happening within our system. Right now I have got a horrible cough. I don't know how many microorganisms are breeding and they must be also having a plan, you know, to do something to my body. So this way it goes on. So basically we don't know what is happening within our own body. But Krishna is not like that. He knows what is happening in every body of every living entity. Nothing hidden from him. So he is Kshetrajna, the knower of the field of activities happening in all the bodies, not just our body. We barely know what is happening in our body, but Krishna knows everything. So it is very, very important. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present as the Super Soul, He knows everything about everybody. So we really cannot hide anything from Krishna. So even in our devotional service, we may sometimes think that we are on the right track, but there could be some ulterior motives in what we are doing, or there could be, you know, contamination by some material motivation. We don't know that, but even if we are not aware of it, the Lord is aware of what is happening. He knows why a particular thing is happening in a given way. So this is important. So Prabhupada makes a comment on this verse. He says that a citizen may know everything about his patch of land, but the king knows not only his palace, but all the properties possessed by individual citizens. So Krishna is the knower of everything. So Akrura has this consolation. So Kshetrajna is the term that has been used here by Shukdev Goswami. So, to indicate that a devotee is very, very confident that no harm is going to come to him because he is protected by Krishna. So, nothing is unknown to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita only there is one verse. Vedaham samatitani vartmanani cha Arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that everything, O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, everything that is happening, and everything that is going to happen also. So there are no secrets for Krishna. He knows everything about every living entity, what is going to happen to him. So that is very crystal clear. So under the circumstances, we have to understand that we have to have this faith in the path that we have accepted, path of Krishna consciousness that you have accepted, that even if there are some pitfalls, even if there are some problems, we know that eventually Krishna as the supreme mother and father, he is there. So we may take a few faltering steps, you know, we may trip and fall, but eventually you know that we are going to be in the arms of Krishna. So that particular consolation is always there for us. This is what we have to meditate on. So how does the Lord see his devotees? That is all answered by here. He sees by amalena chakshusha. Amalena means, amala means, you know, contamination. Amalena means no contamination. So perfect vision. So Krishna sees everyone with perfect vision. We may, our vision may be, you know, defective. I need a bifocal. If I long distance, I use spectacle, then I can't see what is written here. So we have, our vision is faulty. Not only physically, but also on the spiritual platform. What vision do we have? It's only the pure devotees of the Lord who have vision. And their vision, you know, is actually helpful and conducive for development. So we also have a pure devotee in our midst, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, whose vision is what has helped us to grow to this stage of the temple. So there is vision. A pure devotee has a vision. So also the Lord has, you know, amalena chakshusha. And he is able to sense, he is able to see, he is able to perceive whatever desires we have in our mind and in our heart. We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who goes and, you know, performs, you know, tapascharya, he performs penance, and eventually the Lord appears before him. And by that time, you know, Dhruva's desires have vanished actually. It's like the fog which vanishes when the sun appears. So when the sun appears, the fog, you know, is all powerful until the sun appears. You can't see what you can't even see your own hand at times if the fog is very intense. But once the rays of the sun fall, then the fog just disappears. Similarly, here the Lord appears before Dhruva and he tells him that, you know, you will attain the supreme. And then he tells him that you'll also have your subtle desire, you know, you wanted to become, you have a kingdom greater than that of Brahma. That also, you know, will be satisfied. This way, the Lord, you know, takes care of his devotees. So, to conclude, Akrura is very, very happy and very confident that he's being sent on this mission, which he initially did not like, but now he is very, very happy. Why is he happy? Because he says that because of Kamsa, he's grateful to Kamsa actually. He's grateful to Kamsa. He says that because of Kamsa, I'm getting to see Krishna. Kim maya acharitam bhadram, kim taptam paramam tapaha, kim va atha api dattam, yat drakshami adya keshavam. So, yat drakshami adya keshavam means that, yeah, what, you know, pious deeds I must have done. What pious deeds I must have done, and what severe austerities I must have done, and what kind of worship I must have performed, so that today I am being sent on a mission where I can see Krishna. He is not worried about the complexities of the mission, no, that he has been sent with a particular motive, and he is not seeing all that. He is just deriving solace that he is being sent on an errand where the ultimate benefit is that he is going to see Krishna. So that is described. Then he says, Kaunsaha bata adya akrutame ati anugraham, drukshe angri padmam, prahita amuna harehe. He says that today Krishna has shown me extreme mercy. I mean, Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy. Because had Kamsa, you know, not chosen Akrura for this job, Akrura would not have had an opportunity to get darshan of the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, we can understand from these verses that sometimes we see something in our lives where we feel that this is the end of the road, that nothing happening, nothing positive is coming out of it. But eventually, if our endeavors, if our attempts finally take us to the lotus feet of Krishna, whatever the other difficulties, whatever kicks you may get in life, and we do get kicks, many of them. So, if whatever kicks you get in life, if eventually, you know, you are able to get the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then that is beautiful. That is something worth going through. Hare Krishna. Any comments or anything by anybody? No problem. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for the message. What I understood is that despite being in a difficult situation where there may be some difficult service or activity performed, we can have the confidence that Krishna understands our heart. And therefore, with that confidence, we can proceed confidently, even if there are some defects in the external situation. I personally find that having the confidence that Krishna understands my heart is not so much of an issue. But I find that the heart gets more disturbed when the devotees misunderstand me, more than having the doubt that Krishna misunderstands. And the reason I ask this question is because Krishna can understand, but the gopis take offense to Krishna, to Akura's removing. And later on in the pastime with Shatrujit, we see that Prabhupada has commented because Akura committed an offense to the gopis, therefore he got placed in such a difficult situation. So we see that the gopis, apparently, as far as, you know, Leela, apparently they misunderstood and there was a negative reaction for that. So I find that in my surroundings with devotees, that having the confidence the Lord will not misunderstand is okay. But when the devotees misunderstand you, then you feel more disturbed and it's hard to proceed confidently forward. So how do we deal with that type of situation where devotees may apparently misunderstand, and you find that your heart is disturbed by that, and it's hard to proceed forward because of that internal disturbance?
I agree with you that there is more pain when devotees misunderstand or misconstrue our, you know, whatever we want to do. I agree with you there, and it so happens that later on we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam also that the gopis did not like Akrura one bit. They call your name is Akrura, but you are Krura. Of course, this comes later on. So the point here is that, yes, the devotees actually, it all depends on the situation, because a devotee may say something which hurts you, but in the ultimate analysis, if we analyze that if the devotee is doing it for your own spiritual growth, or if he is doing it for your own spiritual progress, even that misunderstanding which is there, that time is a great healer. So after a period of time, that misunderstanding, you know, goes away. We read so many examples in, you know, Prabhupada Leela also, that devotees oftentimes, you know, misunderstood each other, but Prabhupada or even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for that matter, he would put them together and make them, you know, dance, and all the misunderstandings, you know, would disappear. So, yes, because we are encountering devotees in our day-to-day life, their feelings, you know, have more impact on us. We have not yet met Krishna as he is. So, we it is as though, you know, we are appealing to him, but at the same time, where devotees are concerned, if devotees have misunderstood us, it is our prime duty to go and clear that misunderstanding for whatever it is worth. We go to that devotee and say that, Prabhu, you have misunderstood this action of mine. It pains my heart that you are not able to understand me. So this is the rationale, or this is the reason why I did what I did. So please try and understand. Because if you misunderstand me, I become unhappy. So I need your support. I need you very much. So please make the best of it. Misunderstandings can always be cleared with understanding. So, that is what is required. Hari Bol? Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavat Puranam ki jai.